So Marty, is Carly not back yet? Carly and Zoe? Tomorrow. They've been in Hawaii. I think that Joe Smith's were somewhere warm too. Some of you guys got to go away and be in warm places. That's nice. We're at 2019. It's here. You know, some years are easy for us to write. And you have a hard time. It's easy time remembering 2019. Other years are harder. For me, it seems like 2019 is going to be easy year to remember to write that in and not go back to 2018. I don't know if it's going to be easy for you or not, or you keep writing 2018, but whatever the case may be. And looking at the calendar, I see that this will be in our last month. I have three more sermons, times where I'll be preaching. This one, then two more. I will not be preaching on the 27th when the celebration Sunday. Various different people will be sharing some things, but it won't be me. I may say a few words, but I'm not preaching that Sunday. So I thought about, okay, with my last three Sundays, what do I want to communicate to my church family? And so I spent some time thinking about that, and one word kept coming back to me, and it's kind of an obvious word, but it's like, yeah, that's what I need to do, and that word is God. I want to preach about God and talk about Him, because God is what we're always supposed to be about. God is the one who made us, He's the one who's with us, and He's the one we'll be with forever. It is Him. Though we'll see lots of changes, and especially maybe in this year, 2019, the one constant will be our God. The greatest gift we can pass on to the next generation is our God. By modeling to the next generation what it means to walk in faith, by talking to them about Him, letting them know that God loves them so much that He sent His only begotten Son to this world so that they could have a relationship with Him. Because sooner or later, we're all going to pass from this earth. And through faith in Christ, we can spend the rest of existence with Him because of what Jesus has done for us. He's the one we want to be pointing people to. That is why we talk about as one of our desires here at the church is to be discipling people, which is pouring into people's lives the truth about God through teaching, through modeling, through encouraging them in their faith and relationship with Him so that they will grow in Him, live for Him, and hopefully pass Him on, God on to the next generation, and on it goes. We need to be doing that. That's what we need to be about, because it's all about our God. He is ultimately all we need. Pastors, we come and we go. Some of us stay a long time. Others of us don't stay quite as long. But through it all, our hope, our future is in our God, not in ourselves, not in our pastors, but in how awesome and wonderful and faithful our great and glorious God is. Because when it's all said and done, it always comes down to Him. Therefore, He is the one I want to focus on specifically in these next 3 weeks and looking at attributes of His. And at least three of them that I'll be looking at, a couple today, and we'll see how many I get through next week and the following week. But in so doing, I recognize there's a huge challenge with this, especially one of the ones we're going to look at today, and that is some of these attributes of God we simply can't get our head around. They're too big for us. They're beyond our human understanding, and that's the challenge when we look at some of these attributes of God. But when you think about it, that's the way it should be, right? I mean, if God was simple, He wouldn't be God. And so there's going to be elements when we're looking at our amazing God that, man, I just can't quite get my head around this. And sometimes the more we think about it, the more we're like, oh my goodness, this is getting harder the more I think about it rather than the less. So my desire this morning then is not to be able to get your head around these truths because you're not going to be able to, but to simply maybe shed a little more light on them, give a little bit more understanding about them, and for the purpose of helping you in your relationship, in your walk with God, and in your faith, to be that much stronger now that I just understand this a little bit more of how awesome my God is. So with that, let me just join me in praying, And then we'll jump into one of the attributes of our great God. Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you that it is always good to be able to look into your word, to see what you reveal about yourself, and that's what we're going to look at this morning. And Lord, we are dependent upon you to help us understand a little bit more of aspects of you that are beyond our understanding. But we can get it to a piece of that. And Lord, I pray that this will serve to encourage us all. Encourage us all as we move forward into this new year with the various things that are going to be happening this year that only you know about, but we look to you. So, God, in your grace and your mercy, and by the power of your Spirit, speak to us now. And it's in your Son's name. Amen. The first attribute I want to look at, which is probably one of the most difficult for us to comprehend, but it is essential to understanding who our God is. And that is the reality of our God being eternal. The eternal God. Now, first we can be quick in our thinking, okay, eternal God. He always has been. He always is. He always will be. Okay, he's eternal. I've got that one down. So let's move on to the next one. Thanks for pointing that one out. But as you guess, I'm going to slow it down a little. I want to spend a little time on this because think about it. If God's eternal, he's never in a rush either. So why should we be? So let's take some time and look at this concept of what does it mean that our God is eternal. I don't know if you've ever had the challenge or if you've ever been in a situation, but think about the challenge it would be if you were sitting down with someone talking and they have not come to personal faith in the Lord yet. And the topic comes up, and you're trying to explain to this person that your God, the God of all, is eternal. So you're explaining, what does that really mean? And as you're explaining it, the person turns to you and says, okay, so let me get this straight. You're telling me that this God of yours has always existed, that he's never had a starting point, that no one ever created him, that he has always been. Is that what you're saying? And you go, yeah, thinking, yeah, they're getting it. Then they may come back saying, how is that even possible? Come on, man. Prove that to me. What would you say to that? Well, the nice thing is we have the Word of God for us. But the interesting thing about God's Word, it does not prove that God is eternal. The Bible makes no effort to prove to humanity that God is eternal. What the Bible does is it declares him as eternal. But it doesn't explain. Now, let me explain all this. Let me prove to you that I am eternal. No, he just declares, I am eternal. Think about the first verse in the Bible. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It starts off talking about creation, but nothing about explaining how God has always been around, that he is eternal. The beginning. That seems like that's a start of something, and it's referring to creation, to matter, space, and time. Not in the matter of God. He has always been. He had no beginning. Now, as I talk about these things, even though I may state them, I understand that this is hard to comprehend and understand all this. Consider this with the whole concept of beginning as we understand it. The study of physics tells us that matter, time, and space must all occur together. Matter, time, and space. Without matter, there can neither be space nor time. Therefore, time, the concept of time, the succession of moments, one after another, did not exist before God created the universe because there was not space and matter. There was not matter. But therefore, when the universe was created, that's when time, as we know it, began. God always existed, but he was not influenced by time. He is beyond time. So if you think in terms of time, because that's how we are wired and all we know, for God, time is just a dot on his existence. He sees it before, after, before, during, and continuing. But it's just a dot to him. He is beyond all of that. That is how amazing our God is. When we cannot relate to that. Look at this passage in Job as a person is wrestling with this concept of God and time. Job 36:26. And I'm going to give you a variety of verses here. If you want to write them down, that's great. But Job 36:26 says this, "Behold, God is great, and we know him not. The number of his years is unsearchable." God is great. He says, you know, now we know him. He said, we know a part of him. If you're saying here, we know him fully, no, we don't know him fully. There's always more of him to know. But I like how he's wrestling here when he's trying to figure out, how many years is he? How long has he been around? He says, it's unsearchable. I cannot figure that. We can't know because he is beyond years and the concept of years. He has always been. And so here you have it was Elihu who was saying this, saying, we cannot grasp years in terms of God. You know, we have the people out there say, the earth is billions of years old. Well, that seems like a long time, but even if that were true, that's nothing for God. This is how awesome our God is. The fact is that he is eternal also tells us, because time has no influence on him, this is contrary to everything that we know as created beings. If you pull out a picture of yourself from any length of time, maybe just a couple years ago, and look at yourself now, you'll be able to see the effects time has had on you. Right? Time is not our friend. It wears on us, right? It's like, wow. You know, we just took that trip, was in 2017 in Europe, and I looked at the picture. I said, boy, I don't look the same as I did back then. I was a little thinner back then. It's like, huh. And that was just a year and a half ago. We were at Brookings the other day, and in your drive to Brookings and even in the Brookings area, there are houses on the cliffs off the shoreline. And if we were to take seen a picture of that 50 years ago, you could measure that the cliff is eroding, the wind that is hitting over time is breaking down that, and it's eroding away. It's taking its toll on just the side of those cliffs. Time is not its friend. You know, I was thinking about how far back did you build your house from that cliff? Did you figure out it's good for at least 50 years until I'm out of here? I don't know, but that is not true of God. God does not age. He never wears down. Like everything else that we know of creation, it wears down. But our great God doesn't. He is complete. He is the same. He doesn't age. Because it's beyond time. You know, the first one who acknowledged that God is eternal is in the book of Genesis, and it's Abraham. Look what he said. This is the first time God is acknowledged as being eternal. Genesis 21:33. Abraham planted a tamarisk tree in Beersheba and called there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. This is the first time he's called the everlasting God. The Hebrew is El Olam. God everlasting. Abraham got it. He understood that God, you've always been. There is no starting point for you. You are El Olam, the everlasting God. This is what God communicated to Moses as there at the burning bush, where he gave Moses his assignment, that he was to be the leader to go to Egypt to help deliver the people, Israel, out of slavery from Egypt. And Moses thinking about, boy, I'm going to go there. And, you know, what if they ask me, who is it that told you this? What am I to say? Who you are? And remember those words of God? He said to Moses, I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel. I am has sent me to you. I am. A statement of continuous existence. I mean, you think of that. I am. What? I've always been. always will be. I am. He's eternal. Our eternal God. Now we speak of God as being the triune God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. All equal, three in one. It's interesting. I want to just give you a verse of each one showing how they are identified in Scripture as being eternal as well, which makes sense. But I just thought it was cool. Hey, look, here's where it identifies that they're eternal as well. Jesus himself used the same term in John 8:58, where he said to the people, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." You remember how the people responded after that? "Oh, awesome, praise God." No. They went to reach for stones, thinking, he has just declared himself equal with the Almighty, eternal God. That's blasphemous. We know he was born in Nazareth. They didn't know exactly where he was born, but that he was born in Bethlehem, but he was from Nazareth. There's no way this is true. So they wanted to kill him. But here it is, Jesus saying, "I am. I am eternal, just like my Father." And let me give you another verse. What about the Holy Spirit? In Hebrews 9:14, look at this. "How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purifying a conscience from dead works to serve the living God." This is what communion is about because of what he's done. So there it is, the eternal Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, they're all eternal. There's three in one. It's one God, three distinct beings. But they've always existed for all, forever. I can't say of all time because they're way beyond time. See, I got to catch myself in this. We live in a world where everything is time sensitive, though, don't we? Think about it. The more we take to heart and think about how God is eternal, beyond time, the more this will help us face uncertainties in our life. There's always uncertainties. We may think there's not uncertainties, but there's always uncertainties, right? Just as Alex, there was an uncertainty. He wasn't planning on having that accident and now being in a brace and experiencing things that he didn't think he didn't know. We don't know what's going to happen for us tomorrow. We face incredible uncertainties. And certainly this year, we know 2019 is a time of change for us all. But the more we focus on But you know, our God is eternal. He's beyond time. He's always has been. He's here now. And he'll be with us through all of our time. So whatever uncertainties this next year brings, whether it's health issues, whether it's job changes, whether it's the political upheaval, government shutdown, graduating from college, getting married, having a baby, pastoral changes. God is eternal. He's always been there. He always will be. And that will not change. And therefore, that is where our faith and hope is. And that's what brings stability amidst the uncertainties in our life. He's with us now, and he'll be with us forever, both as individuals and as a church. That is such an encouraging truth to help us in the things that we face in this future. Praise God that he is eternal. Because if he wasn't, if God was not eternal, do you understand what that means? Everything falls apart then, doesn't it? If God is not eternal, then that means he could cease to exist at some time. And we don't know when that would be. What would it mean if God ceased to exist? Everything our faith comes crashing down if God is not eternal. He says, "Well, I know where I'm going. I'm going to heaven." Well, what if God doesn't exist anymore? There's no more heaven. Well, I know I'm going to be with him because I put my faith in Jesus and the shed blood, and that forgives me. Well, if God's not around anymore, then that's all gone. What else is there? Just this life. But think about this. If God is the giver of life, if God is not around, do we stop existing? You know, we just think, no, once we are created and born, we have life and we just will continue on. Is that really, do we know that for sure? Or is God Himself giving us life every moment? I mean, we can't create life. So is a very life itself dependent on God? Maybe. The fact that He's eternal is huge for our faith. He's always around. Always will be. Now, I want to share some other passages with you for the simple matter of encouraging you in your faith and how wonderful it is that God is eternal. Look at some of these verses here. And as I read these are just encouraging to me, and I hope they're encouraging to you. Just reminders of things. Psalm 92, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed, or ever you have formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You know what this is saying, put in modern day language? God, you're older than dirt. He is. Dirt isn't very old. Before the mountains, before anything, God, you are everlasting. You've always been. There is no end to you. Praise God that He's eternal. Another verse. Out of Isaiah, for thus says the one who is high and lifted up, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, and also with him who is of contrite and lowly spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly, and to revive the heart of the contrite. I love the phrase here. He inhabits eternity. He is eternity. That's where he dwells. That is who he is, and beyond. And it's like, wow. And look at this, where I love how he says in his eternal state that what is also true is his love and care for those who are contrite and lowly in spirit. God, there's a special place that God lifts up when we're hurting, when we humble ourselves before him. The eternal God is there, as he always is. And how wonderful this is. Because what if God wasn't holy and loving and gracious? What if he was an evil God? Then the fact that he's eternal would mean life would be horrific. You never know what's coming next. You never know what terrible thing he's going to bring. But he's not. He's the eternal God who cares, who loves, who is good. Therefore, let me give you some other encouraging words out of Deuteronomy. I love this word picture here. Get it to go to it. There it is. Deuteronomy 33:27. The eternal God is your dwelling place, and underneath are the everlasting arms. So think about this. It's given us a word picture here. Everlasting arms. When you think of God's everlasting arms, what position do you see his arms in? See, some see it stretched out on the cross. His everlasting arms. What other ways do you see it? Anything else comes to mind? When you're hurting, what position do you need those arms to be in? Maybe wrapping around you? Maybe holding you up, right? Now, we know from scientific study that babies need to be touched. They need to be held. They found out that babies that are preemie babies, especially the importance of, and people, have any of you done that, come in and held preemie babies, where they have people come volunteer and just hold these preemie babies because they need that touch? Do you think that stops when we become adults? Sometimes you think, oh, I don't really need that, but I don't think that's true. This is how my mind works sometimes. Wouldn't it be awesome if there were giants, huge people, whose job was just to hold you? Wouldn't it be awesome to run up and jump into the arms of this giant who would just hold you? That's all their job was, just to hug you, to hold you. And you could just, oh, just give it all, just totally relax, not up to worry, not, they're strong, they never get weak. They just, and wouldn't it be God, these giants going around and we're just being held by giants. Just like, oh, I just need to be held and to know I'm safe in your arms. The everlasting arms. That's still true for us, you guys. We need to know God's arms never tire. He wants us to come and to jump into his arms and just let him hold us. I love that picture. Have you seen that picture where it has two brothers and the one brother says, and he's got a piggyback ride. He says, he's not heavy, he's my brother. It's not about heaviness. It's about, that's what you do for your brother. I'm going to carry him. God loves you. The everlasting arms. Wouldn't it be awesome just to literally be able to just jump into his arms and just carry me around a little bit, Lord, to know I'm safe. I'm not going to struggle. I'm not trying to figure everything out, but I'm just going to know you're with me because I'm hurting right now. The contrite, he lifts up. The lowly, he's there for them. The everlasting arms. To me, that's just a beautiful verse. Now I want to look at some other verses that bring out some other truths of God that are eternal as well. And Riley, are you back there? For some reason, my phone is not giving me the thing. So will you hit the next verse? It should be Romans 1:20. There it is. Thank you. So you're going to have to stay alert now. Okay, Romans 1:20. Look what it says. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power, and divine nature have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. Look what it says there. His eternal power. He's not only eternal, but everything about him is eternal, and his power is eternal, which means it never runs out. He never gets weak. He never says, oh, I need a break. I need a recharge. Now, it says when he rested. Wasn't that? Rest doesn't mean he was without power. He gotten weak. Just says he's rested. His eternal power. He's not dependent on any power source to keep him going. Wouldn't it be nice if that wasn't true of us? Oh my goodness, we need help every day. We need power, right? I got to eat food. I need my rest. Not God. How do you get your mind around that? Eternal power. You know, we have these perpetual motion machines we try to correct. Well, where does that, even the source of power to do that come? It comes from God. Eternal power. Next, not only is it eternal power, but look at another thing in Ephesians. This is such a cool verse. Ephesians 3:11. His plan for us is eternal. Look at this. Look what 3:11 is saying. This was according to the eternal purpose that he realized in Christ Jesus our Lord. Eternal purpose. It always has been. What has been is eternal purpose. Don't miss what it is saying. God's plan for his son to be the Savior, the Messiah, has always been part of his plan. Always. For eternity. That's what it's saying here. His eternal purpose. To me, that's amazing when you think about it. It wasn't something he came up once the fall took place. Oh my goodness, he ate of the apple. What are we going to do? Okay, Jesus, I guess you're going to have to come in and spare these guys. No. It says his eternal purpose, that it was realized in Christ, but has always been. How awesome is that? It's always been a part of his plan. There never was a moment when that was not part of his purpose. Never a moment. Praise God for that. Then the next passage, 1 Timothy 6:16. Who alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see, to him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. God's always in charge. No one has ever been over him. No world power is ever going to rise up and take over. God has eternal dominion. He's always in charge. He always rules. two other verses that confirm that. Psalm 145:13, your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. It's always his kingdom. Your dominion endures throughout all generations. You guys, we need to be reminded of these truths when we can get discouraged by what we hear about in the news and world powers and politicians and people in positions of authority, and we're concerned about what's going on. Hold on. God's kingdom is everlasting. His dominion endures throughout all generations. Psalm 146:10, the Lord will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations, praise the Lord. Eternal power, eternal purpose, eternal dominion, eternal reign. But there's one more element I want to identify here as we wrap these things up that's so important that is also true of him. Plays so beautifully in the fact that he's eternal. And that is Hebrews 13:8. It says this, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, indicating, there's another verse we're going to look at in a moment here, but telling that he stays the same. He doesn't change. Remember the word, the fancy word, immutability. It means God never changed. And this is so important when we're dealing with God being eternal, because if he could change, what does that mean? It's all up in the air then. Well, he's a loving, gracious God today, but in another million years, what if he changes and decides, you know what, I finally had enough of you people. I put up with you a long time. A million years is a long time in heaven with me, but I've had enough of you. I've changed, grown up a little, seeing what you're really about. Get out of here. But he doesn't. He remains the same yesterday, today, and forever. We don't have to live in fear or uncertainty. The blood of Jesus saves us. It pays for all of our sin. God said that's what it needed to happen. And he did it, and it is sufficient. Malachi 3:6. For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. You see, God even recognizes this. He says, what does he mean by that? You mean if he changed, he would have consumed them? Yes. He said, but I made a promise to you that you would be my people. And I would not wipe you out completely. And he says, and I did not change. I keep my word. If I didn't, you wouldn't be around. But because I do not change, the table, the body, the blood of Christ is sufficient, and we are forgiven, and we have eternal life with him. When we look at this, when we look at the eternal God, as I said, we have a lot of uncertainties in our life. We don't know the future. We are not beyond time like God is. But he is eternal. There are no surprises with him. He knows exactly what your whole life is like. Because remember, he's beyond time. He chose you before the creation of the world. It even says that. And he says, so he sees it all. He sees our whole life. He sees everything about our life. He sees everything about this church's existence that's been around, what, 140 plus years? Who knows how many more years it's going to be around? But God knows that. And he sees it all. What uncertainties are you facing that are wearing on your heart? What is it? What is it that at times keeps you up at night? What is it that wears on your heart? The more we understand and believe that God is eternal, the more peace it will bring, the more comfort to our heart. Whether it's health issues, whether it's relational issues, issues with your family, issues with the church, our eternal God sees and he knows it all. And he'll be with us just as he promised, because I'll never change. I said I'd be with you. Always have been. I've always existed. Always will. And I keep my promises. I am truth, and truth will never change. Though we cannot fully comprehend all of what it means for God to be eternal, we can rest in those everlasting arms. And maybe that's the word picture you need to take with you this morning, is just being held by Him in His love and His embrace and His comfort, lifting us up. I love the words in this, the last verse I want to give you, is Isaiah 26:4. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. Everlasting. No beginning, no end. He is that stability that we need in an ever-changing world. Praise God that He is an eternal God. And I'm hoping maybe just from looking at these verses and talking about, help you not to maybe just pass over this attribute. Oh yeah, I know God's eternal, but let it speak to your heart. Let it help us in 2019 and what lies ahead. And when there's uncertainties and we don't know and the timing is weird and we're just saying, what's going on? Say, God knows what's going on. He's eternal. His reign is forever. The everlasting arms. We can trust in Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank You. We thank You for Your eternity in the sense that You always have been, You always will be, and we can trust You in that. And Lord, as we face this year of uncertainties, of not knowing what the future holds, You do. You see it all. It's all clear before You. And Lord, help us not to worry ourselves, but to say, okay, to keep our eyes upon You. God, we praise You as the eternal God that You are. We praise You for all that means and what little we understand about it. But help us to trust in You. And when we face challenges and difficulties, to remember that You see it all. You knew what was going to happen. And You're with us. May we be people who walk by faith, who live by faith, who give You all the praise and the glory. And it's in Your Son's name we pray these things. Amen.